The St John Home and Lifestyle Lottery has a major prize draw every week. Get your tickets before midnight Sunday to win big. Visit stjohnlottery.com.au.
On the footy field, his skills were as smooth as silk.
Down the line, Burgoyne should kick a goal. He does.
His nickname was Silk. And continuing the tradition of creatively named football autobiographies, his book is also called Silk. Please welcome to Ruined It for Breakfast.
Burgoyne, what a big play. Burgoyne.
Sean Burgoyne.
407 games, four-time premiership player. But Rue, I've got to say, and Loz, the saddest day of my life was when he left Port Adelaide. It was heartbreaking, but he's a champion. And it is one of the most apt nicknames of all time, Silk. Sean Burgoyne, welcome.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good, Sean. Congratulations, mate. What an unbelievable career.
Yeah, it went a lot longer than I originally thought.
Not bad for a bloke with a bung knee.
Yeah, I know. And the guy used to just roll around the back of pre-season training every session. So it definitely lasted a lot longer than I thought.
Now, Sean, talking about your book, and congratulations on the book, by the way, but there's you're obviously very, very forthright and honest. I want to hit you with a couple of quotes out of the book. You say, I reckon if I went back to my old teammates and asked them how they found me in my first year or two, they would have said I was lazy and I took shortcuts. You clearly had to dig deep and change the whole way you went about it.
Yeah, that's probably exactly what they would say, to be honest. I think when I first came into the league, I survived on pure talent, to be honest.
Yep.
And then Andrew Russell, the Port Adelaide fitness coach, and David Arnfield gave me some tough love, and so did my teammates, and told me I needed to obviously become a lot more professional and pick up my training standards. And I try to do that, and each year I slowly got better. But it probably wasn't until I had my knee surgery where my career was on the line. I needed to actually sharpen up and everything, you know, from diet to sleep to recover, like all that stuff to get the best out of myself.
I think that happens with a lot of players, doesn't it? You mature at different times, whether you're 18, 19, or some people are 23, 24, and that's what separates the good players from the not so good. Did you want to retire, or what happened at the end, Sean? There's a lot of stuff happening at Hawthorn at the moment with senior players.
Yeah, no, I gave it a good nudge, trying to play forever, didn't I? But no, just it was time to hang the boots up and move on to life after footy. And I think the last 2 years at Hawthorn have been extremely challenging, obviously like most clubs and, you know, people in the community with COVID, but also trying to play actually elite footy while going through that is quite tough. But for me, yeah, it was just time to call it quits, to be honest, and start my next chapter of my life. I am turning 40 next year, Ruth.
Wow, that is 40. Unbelievable. That's incredible.
Far out.
Now, I couldn't even get my jumper over my head when I was 40. Good luck, play.
I'm looking over at Ruth, and he looks like he's just come out of World War One. He's got his knee strapped up. He's got crutches. And obviously this is a body that's been rigorously put through, you know, sport will do that to you. What parts of your body, I mean, the knee was mentioned before, are you feeling? Have taken it the hardest?
Well, it's funny you just say I've just come out from doing my post-career checkup. So I've just come out of the hospital, to be honest. I've had to get both ankles scanned, my left knee, both shoulders, my wrist, my neck, my back. So there's a few in there, my thumb.
The thumb even.
Hang on, which bit haven't they checked? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so as Rue can clearly tell you, like, Your body takes a battering playing AFL footy, and not only just the hits you take, but the running and the stress that takes, and then the mental toll the stress of AFL footy places upon you. So, you know, it's a physical sport, and you have to be prepared that something's going to happen to your body along the way. But yeah. I think the way that the club medical staff have improved and with science and, you know, the care for players is first class now. It's only getting better. You only got to look at the protection of the head these days. It's getting better every year, and just got to follow up with regular maintenance now, probably for the rest of my life, to be honest.
Sean, I want to ask you about your family. Now, a lot of people would know, but some wouldn't, that your wife is Erin Phillips' sister. So now that you're back in Adelaide, tell us about family barbecues. You've got Greg Phillips as your father-in-law. You've got Erin sitting there as your sister-in-law. You got your brother, Peter. You must have some great footy discussions over a snag, I reckon.
Yeah, well, the barbecue's a bit of a tricky one. Erin's a vegan.
Oh, like steak. There you go.
but it's not too bad, the discussions. But yeah, we actually, we get on really well. And but yeah, it's, I'm really enjoying watching her play footy for the girls for Adelaide. And that's been my team actually in the women's, you know, for quite some time now, watching Erin and my girls where they're.
So you barrack for the Crows.
In the AFLW, yes, I do. Yeah. my daughters wear the Adelaide Crows W Guernsey with number 13 on the back, and they love watching Annie Erin. So hopefully she's got a few more years left in her.
And we tried to get you to the Crows probably several times, but just recently with a job of life after footy, and you chose Port, and we totally understand why, because you're a premiership player there. What is your job actually going to be at the Port Adelaide Footy Club next year?
Yeah, it was it was really a decision to come back home. And then obviously when I came back home, a role was offered to me. So I'll be across a bit of list management, mentoring, leadership, government, corporate relations, and a bit of the Indigenous liaison officer stuff. So there's a few in there. But once I get in there and feel my way around, we'll probably just find out where I'll be spending most of my time. But at the moment, it's just going to be spread across and doing something other than playing footy.
Sean, this will be a very, very broad question. I hope it's easy to answer, but what would you like to see moving forward with the relationship of, say, with Indigenous players within the game? I hopefully we've come a long, long way, but you're better equipped to answer that. But hopefully we have improved in the way we are integrating and you know, using our Indigenous players in the game. But we have an Indigenous appreciation round, the Sir Doug Nicholls round. What would you like to see happen, say, in the short term or maybe even the long term? How can we improve the whole situation?
It's a serious question.
It is, I know.
Now, there's clubs in the AFL are constantly looking for ways to improve on and off the field, you know, the culture within clubs, how do you engage your members, and obviously Indigenous players make up 11% of a playing list when Indigenous people only make up 2% of the population. Yep. So it's a large
That's because you're bloody good.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a large representation there, but clubs are continually looking for ways to get better. I think clubs are trying to employ more Indigenous people now, coaches. We've seen when Eddie Betts and Neville Jeddah becoming going on to their clubs as, you know, development coaches. You know, we need more senior coaches. So clubs are actively trying to improve in this area, and it's good that clubs are, you know, going down this path. You get a lot more out of giving back to the community and, you know, Indigenous players and the Indigenous programs that clubs have. It shows how much reward that clubs can get when, you know, you go into communities and help, you know, people who need your help. So clubs in the AFL are constantly looking for ways to get better.
I'm going to ask you another tricky one. You were born in Port Lincoln. I had a pub over there. I know a lot about Port Lincoln. And yeah,
I've seen you at the pub over there once.
I know it's dear to your heart, and I know they love footy over there. Controversial one. Is a club like Mallee Park good for a football competition where all Indigenous players play in one team? Or do you think it's better where you've got Indigenous players spread out amongst the, each of the clubs, so it's not a black v. white thing?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Because I've seen the positives of both. In the Riverland, you have Indigenous players in every side and they're part of the football club. And I've seen and heard issues in Port Lincoln where it's Mallee Park v. the others.
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, it's, well, I've grown up, obviously, my whole life with Mallee Park. And for me, that's where I wanted to play. And I wanted to be involved in a club that was very inclusive. Growing up as a kid, we'd always recruit players from who were non-Indigenous from school and our friends, and they'd always come out and play a year or two here and there and then go back to the other clubs. And it was just a great way to integrate into the community, because I was a very shy kid coming through. So, you know, there's been cases in Port Lincoln over the last few years where they haven't had enough numbers for two teams. I think Mallee Park may have merged with Waybacks for their juniors to form a team. So I'm not too sure if that's still happening at the moment, but that was when through a lack of numbers. But yeah, I think the general thought of having a team in there, Mallee Park, is good for the comp. And just continues to have good participation of Indigenous people playing the game. Because if you don't have the clubs like Mallee Park, potentially you could lose players actually to the league.
Hypothetical, Stewie Jew not coaching the Gold Coast Sun in 2023. Will Alistair Clarkson want to go up there and coach?
yeah, his name's been thrown around a lot, hasn't it? Well, he's taking the year off, definitely. Well, he's getting paid to take the year off. How's that? You get paid to not coach.
Thanks, Jeff Kennedy.
Yeah, I'd like to be in that. I'd like to be in that seat. And a lot of money, too, to be going on holiday for a year.
You have to get sacked to do that, though.
Yeah, you do. But in all honesty, whichever club, whether that's Gold Coast Suns or, you know, he's been linked to almost every club every year, they're going to be very lucky to get him because this last half of this year, I've seen a man who was just as driven and just as, you know, the hunger to succeed and get better. You know, that's the strongest I've seen Clarko over my entire career. So he's going to go away, recharge the batteries, and then he's going to hit whatever club he goes to at 100 miles an hour. And good luck to that club, whoever secures his services.
Hypothetical again, mate. You're now Stephen Hocking. You're ahead of the football. You're making the rules. What rules are you changing for 2022? Are you keeping the stand on the mark rule?
No, I'm getting rid of that. I do not like that stand the mark. You actually feel useless when the player marks the ball and you're on the mark. And then you've seen when players have a set shot and goal and the guy on the mark's standing still and there's a guy who's 5 metres to the left or right of him having taken the kick. That I'm not a fan of that one. And also I've been thinking about if the ball hits the post and goes through, just a goal.
Yeah.
Or if it hits the post and hits the post and comes back into play, play on.
Really?
Right.
Okay. I'd like to see a play on.
Controversial.
Just to see how that goes, just to change it up. But genuinely, that's I'm not really a fan too much for changing the rules, to be honest.
Yeah. But you've just changed that one.
But I've just changed. I've just sold two at you.
Yeah. Good well, on Sean.
Yeah. I've got to justify my job.
You do.
That's right. Good point. You're on half a million.
Mate, congratulations on the book. It's called Silk. And just quickly, Roo and Loz, look, there are some great stories in it. He addresses all the hard issues. Talks about the captaincy fiasco at Port Adelaide, having to leave Port Adelaide. Talks about where there was an issue, black v. white in the change room.
Sean?
You've definitely covered all the big issues. This is going to be a great read for people that love their footy.
Yes, well, that's probably what I'm a bit more nervous. I'm actually more nervous about this book than I played, I think, in grand finals.
You got to say something when you write a book.
Yeah. So it's something that obviously from my point of view, my whole career, and there's some touchy issues there.
Yep.
Hopefully, people enjoy it.
Our producer burnt through it in like 2 days. Yeah. He just couldn't get enough. Yeah. He was very excited.
He's the biggest Port Nuffy in South Australia. <though. laughs>
Good on you, Sean. Thanks for talking to us.
All right, guys. Thanks.
There he is.
Cheers,
Sean Burgoyne. Check the book out. It's called Silk.
The St. John Home and Lifestyle Lottery has a major prize draw every week. Get your tickets before midnight Sunday to win big. Visit stjohnlottery.com.au.